The salt marsh does not care about the law. The plovers continue to hop along the muddy banks. The tide still pushes through the tall grass. It makes that soft, rushing sound I have heard every day of my life. I stood on the porch this morning. I held the envelope in my hand. It was thick. It was white. It had the county seal in the corner. I did not open it. I put it on a small wooden table by the door. I went to the kitchen and made a pot of coffee. The smell of the beans filled the house. It is a house my great-grandfather built with his own hands. He used heart pine. He used sweat. He used the freedom he had earned after the war. I looked out the window at the live oak. Its branches are heavy with moss. It looks like it is weeping. I told myself it was just a tax notice, or maybe a survey update. I told myself the world was still the same as it was yesterday. But the air felt thin. It felt like something was being pulled away from under my feet. The Gullah Geechee land is not just dirt. It is our skin. It is our story. My mother used to say that if you listen to the wind in the pines, you can hear the ancestors. They whisper the names of the children. They remind us who we are. I poured a cup of coffee. My hand was shaking. Just a little. I walked back to the porch. I looked at the envelope again. It was still there. It was waiting. I sat in the rocker. I watched the heron take flight. It was slow and graceful. It did not have to worry about deeds or titles. It did not have to worry about developers. I finally picked up the letter. I used a butter knife to slit the top. I did it slowly. I wanted to delay the moment the words became real. The paper was crisp. The font was standard. It looked so ordinary. Summons and complaint, it said at the top. I read the words three times. I did not want to understand them. It was a partition action. Someone I had never met had bought a small fraction of our land. A cousin of a cousin had sold their interest. A developer in a glass office in Charleston now owned 5% of our family's heritage, and they were using that 5% to take the other 95%. They were asking the court to sell the whole tract. They said the land could not be fairly divided. They said a sale was the only way to give everyone their fair share. But our share is not money. Our share is the marsh. Our share is the history. I felt a coldness in my chest. It was the kind of cold that starts in your bones. I looked at the marsh again. It looked different. Now, it looked like a target. I called my brother. He lives in North Carolina now. He works in an office. He has a mortgage. They did it, Curtis, I said when he picked up. There was a long silence on the other end. I could hear him breathing. The letter came, he asked. His voice was quiet. It's a partition sale, I told him. They want the whole thing. We knew this might happen, Curtis said. The lawyers warned us after Aunt Sarah passed without a will. Heirs' property, it is a trap. It is a hole in the law that our people fall into. For generations, we did not trust the courts. We did not trust the white men with the pens. We passed the land down through blood and memory. We thought that was enough. We thought the family bond was stronger than a piece of paper. But the law does not care about memory. It cares about signatures. It cares about clear titles. If one person in the family sells a sliver, the whole thing can crumble. The developers find the one person who needs the cash. They find the one person who hasn't seen the marsh in 20 years. They buy that person's interest for a few thousand dollars. Then they sue for a sale. They know the family cannot afford to outbid them at the auction. They know the price will be driven up. They know we will lose. What do we do? I asked Curtis. I don't know, he said. The new laws were supposed to help, but these people are smart. They find the cracks. I hung up the phone. I felt small. I felt like a grain of sand being pulled out to sea. I walked down to the water. I took off my shoes. The mud was cool and thick between my toes. This land has been in our family since 1868. We survived the storm of 1893. We survived the Jim Crow years. We survived the taxes. We held on to this coast when nobody else wanted it, when it was just mosquitoes and heat. Now the world has discovered the beauty. They want the view. They want the privacy. They want to build gated communities with names like Heritage Point. They want our heritage, but they don't want us. I walked along the bank. I saw a stake in the ground. It was bright orange. It was a surveyor's mark. They had been here while I was at work. They had walked through our yard. They had measured our lives. I wanted to pull it out. I wanted to throw it into the deep water. But I knew it wouldn't matter. There would be another one. And another. The law is a machine. Once you turn it on, it is very hard to stop. I went to see a lawyer the next day. Her office was in a brick building in Beaufort. She was a black woman with sharp eyes and a tired smile.
She looked at my papers. She sighed. It's the 2026 amendment, she said. They tighten some things, but they open others. These developers are using a quiet title strategy combined with the partition request. She explained it to me, but the words sounded like a foreign language.
She talked about equitable distribution and market value. She talked about tax liens from 3 decades ago that hadn't been cleared. Can we fight it? I asked. We can try, she said, but it will cost money, a lot of money. And even then, the judge might decide a sale is the only legal remedy. I looked at her. Legal remedy? Losing my home is a remedy? She looked down at her desk. To the court, land is just an asset. It is a number on a balance sheet. I left the office. I felt like I was walking through water. Everything was heavy. I drove back to the island. I passed the new construction. I saw the signs for the luxury villas. The signs showed happy people on boats. They showed white sand and blue water. They did not show the people who lived there before. They did not show the gullah families who were being pushed further and further inland. I got home and went to the garden. I started weeding. I needed to feel the dirt. I worked until my fingernails were black. I worked until my back ached. I thought about my grandmother. She used to sit on the porch and shell peas. She would tell me stories about the spirits in the trees. She told me that we don't own the land. The land owns us. If you take care of the ground, she said, the ground will take care of you. I wondered if the ground knew what was happening. I wondered if the trees felt the surveyor's tape. A week later, a man in a suit came to my house. He drove a shiny black SUV. He looked out of place on our dirt road. He got out of the car. He smiled. It was a practiced smile. It didn't reach his eyes. Mrs. Drayton? He asked. I'm not selling, I said. I didn't even wait for him to speak. He chuckled. I'm not here to buy your house, Mrs. Drayton. I'm here to offer a solution. He told me he represented the development group. He told me they wanted to be good neighbors. He said they would pay for my relocation. He said they would give me a generous settlement. More than the land would bring at a public auction. You're going to lose the case, he said. His voice was smooth. The title is too messy. The court will order the sale. At an auction, you'll get pennies on the dollar. He leaned against his car. Take the deal now. You can move into a nice condo in town. No more worrying about the roof. No more worrying about the taxes. I looked at him. I looked at his expensive shoes. I looked at his car. My roof is fine, I said, and my taxes are paid. For now, he said. But the legal fees will eat you alive. Why fight the inevitable? I told him to leave. I watched his car kick up dust as he drove away. I went inside and sat in the dark. I didn't turn on the lights. I thought about the word inevitable. Is it inevitable that we lose? Is it inevitable that the money always wins? I spent the next month calling every relative I could find. I called cousins in New York. I called uncles in Florida. I tried to explain the situation. I told them we needed to form a family trust. We needed to unite our interests. Some of them understood. Some of them wanted to help. But others were tired. They were struggling. They saw the dollar signs the developers were dangling. It's just a piece of swamp, Mary, one cousin told me. I can't pay my rent. That money would change my life. How do you argue with hunger? How do you explain the value of a march to someone who can't buy groceries? The developers find the weakest link. They always do. The court date came in late April. The courtroom was cold. The air conditioner was humming. I sat on one side with my lawyer. The developers sat on the other side. They had 3 lawyers. They had stacks of folders. The judge was an older man. He looked like he had seen 1,000 cases like mine. He looked like he wanted to go to lunch. My lawyer argued about the cultural significance of the land. She talked about the Gullah Geechee Heritage Corridor. She talked about the family's continuous occupation for over 150 years.
The developer's lawyers talked about highest and best use. They talked about economic development. They talked about the impossibility of physical partition. They showed maps. They showed how the land was shaped. They showed why it couldn't be chopped into 20 small pieces for 20 different heirs. The law is clear, the lead lawyer said. A sale is the only equitable solution for all parties involved. I wanted to scream. I wanted to tell them that equity isn't a check. Equity is the right to stay. The judge looked at me. Mrs. Drayton, do you have the funds to purchase the plaintiff's interest at fair market value? I looked at my lawyer. She shook her head slightly. No, Your Honor, I said. My voice sounded thin in the big room. But we have a plan to form a trust. A plan is not a payment, the judge said. He didn't sound mean. He just sounded bored. He ruled from the bench. He ordered a partition sale. The land would be sold at the courthouse steps in 30 days. I walked out of the courtroom. The sun was bright. It felt like an insult. The next 30 days were a blur. I tried to raise money. I started a fundraiser online. I talked to reporters. A few people cared. A few stories were written. But the world moves fast. People clicked like, and then they moved on. The auction day was hot. The humidity was thick. I stood on the steps of the courthouse. I watched the crowd. There were men in hats. There were people looking for bargains. The auctioneer started his chant. It was fast. It was rhythmic. It sounded like a dance. The developers started the bidding. They started high. They wanted to scare everyone else off. I looked at the ground. I couldn't watch. The bidding went up and up. It went past what I could ever hope to dream of. And then it was over. Sold, the auctioneer yelled. He pointed to the man in the suit, the man who had come to my house. The land was gone. It took 5 minutes. 158 years of history were wiped out in 5 minutes. I drove back to the house one last time. I had 48 hours to pack. I didn't take much. I took the photos. I took the old cast iron skillet. I took a jar of dirt from the garden. I sat on the porch as the sun went down. The marsh was turning purple and gold. The plovers were still there. The tide was still coming in. I realized then that the developers didn't really own the land. They owned the paper. They owned the right to build. But they would never hear the ancestors in the trees. They would never understand the language of the wind. They would build their houses. They would put up their fences. They would pave over the graves of my people. But the salt will eventually eat their foundations. The storms will eventually come for their luxury villas. The marsh remembers. I got in my car. I didn't look back. I drove across the bridge. I watched the water glitter in the rearview mirror. I am a woman with a check in my pocket, but I am a woman who is homeless. The harvest was stolen, and the law helped them do it. I am headed inland now, away from the water, away from the moss. But I still have the jar of dirt on the seat beside me. It is all I have left of who I am.